Welcome back to The Takeaway. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's the 107th anniversary of the Mexican Revolution today. Back in 1910, a broad swath of Mexico revolted against the government of Porfirio Diaz, and a big part of that war were Mexican peasants, farmers, demanding their right to land. Today, many small-scale Mexican farmers feel like their struggle isn't over. They say the North American Free Trade Agreement has taken away their ability to make a living growing corn. And as NAFTA negotiations enter their fifth round, many of those small farmers say they want out. Frank Contreras is a correspondent with China Global Television Network America in Mexico City. Frank, welcome.
Hi, Todd. Glad to be with you.
Frank, if you followed the presidential campaign in 2016 here in the United States, you got the message that NAFTA was a terrible deal for America and that Mexico was getting away with a lot under that deal. But small farmers in Mexico wouldn't agree with that.
No, if you look at the statistics that come actually from the Mexican government themselves, there are some 6 million small-scale farmers in Mexico who basically needed to abandon their fields under all the years that NAFTA has been in place, Todd. And we're talking about more than 20 years now. And so many of those farmers had to move to the cities, places like where I'm speaking to you from, Mexico City, a huge change, right? From the cultural reality, the small-scale farms in rural indigenous lands, moving themselves into major cities, trying to seek jobs, and so having a real tough time of it. And they largely blamed the North American Free Trade Agreement.
What happened? I mean, let's get economic here. What happened to corn in Mexico?
Well, in general, Mexico was the creator of corn. It's the birthplace and known as the origin of the corn seed. Under NAFTA, Mexico has actually become a net importer of U.S. corn. And that's largely the kind of corn that's being used to make industrial produced processed foods, the kind of foods that are more and more available now under the North American Free Trade Agreement. And of course, those products come from industrial scale farms in the United States.
Why is American industrial corn so cheap?
The Mexican government argues that the corn coming from the United States is so cheap because it's subsidized by the United States government.
Frank, you know, other agricultural sectors in Mexico have done very well. I think I read that avocados do very well in Mexico. Free trade deals are supposed to be about the trade-offs, right? That's what they always say. The United States has lost some manufacturing. Some agriculture is doing very well. Is that different in Mexico?
In general, in Mexico, what we see is, you pointed out the avocado industry. That industry has boomed largely because Mexican avocado producers have been able to compete directly with their main competitors, which are producers in California. And so what they're able to do is export a huge number, hundreds of tons per day from certain parts of a small city called Uruapan in Michoacán state. That's a state that used to send many thousands of migrants to the United States, but now it actually has a thriving internal economy, Todd. That's because they're able to produce and export so many avocados to the United States when California farmers, you know, are not able to produce year-round. That's one of the edges that the Mexican producers get from that sector. But from other parts of the economy, for example, it's not just corn that's been harmed. We're also told here from Mexican government statistics that rice producers, there are actually a good number of rice producers in the areas around Mexico City. In the state just south of Mexico City, which is known as Morelos State, that's where the Mexican Revolution started in the fields. It was led by General Emiliano Zapata. You've heard his name, the guy with the big mustache who rode the horse and led peasant farmers to the revolt. As you pointed out in the intro here, the decree there was, you know, land and liberty. They were going to give their lives to be able to fight for the land, to fight for the right to work the land. So in those states here, a lot of farmers have lost their ability to produce competitively with the mass scale farmers in places like the United States and around the world. Mostly, though, I would say it's the United States. And again, they point to the North American Free Trade Agreement.
And these small scale farmers, there are millions of them, as you say. What's their voice here, Frank? Are they able to be heard by negotiators? Are they being heard by their government?
Most of the time, they're not being heard, Todd. But lately, because you start to hear a lot of criticism of the NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, coming from Washington and the current administration there, the Trump administration, oddly enough, these political strange bedfellows are somehow opening up doorways, political doorways, so that you can start to hear more the perspectives of these small-scale farmers. By the way, the Mexican government itself says that the number of overall farmers in the country under NAFTA in these years that that trade agreement has been in place, that number has grown, according to the Mexican government, by 1.7 million. There are 1.7 million more Mexican farmers now in the land, but it's still unable to compete with the United States.
Well, Frank, we can talk about the economic losses for small farmers in free trade agreements like this one, but what about the cultural ones? What does the loss of a corn industry or a corn culture mean to people in Mexico?
In Mexico, it means everything. Remember, there were ancient civilizations in place in Mexico before the conquest of Spain here in this part of the world, known as the New World back then. And what brought those civilizations to life was corn. For Mexicans, corn is like what rice is to the Japanese or to any Asian culture. It's the basis of their food supply. It's the kind of food they use in celebrations. So it's an intrinsic part of how people eat, but also how they come to think of themselves in their world and the history of their cultures here in this part of the world. So when that starts to get taken away or weakened, then it begins to weaken what anthropologists call the fabric of Mexican civilization here.
Frank Contreras with China Global Television Network America in Mexico City. Frank, thanks for being with us.
I'm glad to do it. Thanks, Todd.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.